First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
LouisvillePolitics.com and EdSpringsteen.com. You can go for all the latest podcasts of this show or any other thing we've got going on. While you're there, if you don't mind, please join our email newsletter list, and we will be more than happy to send you everything we do at those two websites, LouisvillePolitics.com and EdSpringsteen.com, on a weekly or a monthly basis, your choice. Also, join the RSS feed, and we'll have the radio shows delivered straight to your door on a daily basis, right to your inbox. So there you go. And if you're so inclined, we can always, always use the help. And the kindness of all of you guys, what really helps us keep everything going, we do have a donate button as well. So if you feel inclined, please help us there as well. And with that being said, I tell you, there is always so much going on. You don't even know where to start. So let's do this. Phone numbers, as always, 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. And for you guys and gals that are already in the listening queue, we certainly appreciate you being here each and every night, our faithful listeners. But please hit that number one on your dial pad if you want to be heard on air. And for everybody else, the live chat is open, so you can chime on into the live chat room and say whatever you want to say. You can sign in using your Facebook and Twitter accounts, as well as right here at BTR. So there's all kinds of ways you can get to us and talk to us. Real quick, a big shout-out to a good friend of ours, a good friend of the show, to our good friend Paul Holliger over at Stop It, Stop Invisible Taxes. He has a birthday today. I'm not going to tell you how old he is because I don't want to embarrass him. But, you know, happy birthday to my good friend Paul. And not sure where Ed Martin is at. He should be joining us momentarily, I would think. And with that said, let's move on with the show. Yes, you know, all kinds of interesting things come to light. And spend a little time, yeah, just every day kind of going through stuff, even on the weekends. Well, we've got a story coming out of the WDRB.com. WDRB, of course, talked with Greg Fisher about this minimum wage hike in Louisville. And I find it so fascinating, really so fascinating, the lies, the hypocrisy, and the stupidity that these guys are trying to cram down everybody's throat. This mayor really truly must think we're all brain dead or something. Louisville Mayor Greg Fisher, according to WDRB, says he has concerns about the proposal to increase the minimum wage in Louisville. His concern is that if you raise this, you know, he goes on record to say that he's all for increasing the minimum wage at the federal level because that's a level playing field for everybody, and you can't argue with that, you know. But I find it hypocritical at best to say for him to sit here and talk about wanting a level playing field in Louisville, and he has concerns about the minimum wage. He has worked in collusion, in my opinion, with GLI and Kent Oiler to figure out a way to bounce off of each other and to act like they really care about Louisville business. And I have no other way to explain this to you other than this. This is the same mayor and the same GLI who are now working together to try to screw us into thinking they care that were promoting, actively promoting, the local option of sales tax here in Louisville. And what is it going to do when you raise taxes in Louisville? It's going to do the same thing minimum wage does. It's going to create an unfair playing field and make it easier for others to compete against us. So I laughed when I saw this story and that he wants to act like he's trying to be concerned about Louisville, because if he was concerned about Louisville, he'd be proactive in staying away from higher taxes. He would be proactive in trying to keep GE here because they are moving, folks. We'll talk about that in a minute. You know, but this whole minimum wage thing is nothing but a smoke and mirrors game by Fisher and GLI because they know it's already a done deal. And he will sign it when the Metro Council Democrats send it to him on his desk. How are you, Mr. Martin?
All right, Mr. Springsteen. Bit wore out, yeah. But, you know, all right.
Yeah, I hear you. I tell you, this whole minimum wage fight is really to the point of being stupidity. I'm not sure how much of the opening you got to catch because I know you're running a little bit late today, but you know, Greg Fisher's now out there saying he's a little concerned about my minimum wage. He's not sure if he'll sign it or not because he's waiting for the community to respond and figure out whether he's going to sign it when it gets to him or not. And the reality is he owns the Metro Council Democrats. Every Democrat on the council signed a letter to Mike O'Connell wanting to make sure it was legal. In Mike O'Connell's opinion, which we now know really doesn't matter because Mike O'Connell can't interpret the law. He doesn't know how to. But, you know, he's got every Democrat signed that. So we know that every Democrat on the council is going to vote for a minimum wage hike. And, you know he's going to sign it. And this is the same guy who says he has concerns about it being a level playing field since it's not across the board and everybody else in the country, the same guy who continues pushing to raise taxes in Louisville, which is going to make it harder to compete as well. I mean, is this not the most hypocritical piece of garbage when it comes to the cost of doing business in Louisville you've ever heard?
Well, I think, as I've commented in writing before, it's like, first off, it seems to me in a lot of cases the people pushing for this minimum wage hike are not job creators, and they're not people that have to make payroll. So that's, you know, ironic, hypocritical, whatever you want to call it there. As far as Fisher goes, he's made his millions on the other side of the river.
Yeah, and there you go.
His company is not located in Louisville, so you know what? That is hypocritical. Yeah, maybe he has a competitor in Louisville. He's about to slam him or something. I don't know. But you know, to me, it just gets down to, hey, look, you know, if it was a city like you were out in the middle of the desert out in Arizona, and on the outskirts there was nothing to worry about, and desert, that's one thing. Or you had a coast or something. You kind of had people. You know, your businesses, the exits were a distance away. Fact of the matter is, we're building a downtown bridge, whether we need it or not, and we're definitely building an East End bridge, which is going to land in Utica, Indiana, with all sorts of available space for businesses to locate.
And closer to Greg Fisher's business, it makes it easier to get over there to his business. Go ahead.
We've got the Indiana thing, but we've also got Shelby County right next door. We've got, Spencer County. All these places we're really fun, and I would be remiss if I didn't say it, but Willett County right to the south, that place is booming. So, and putting a disclaimer in there, Fisher will say he supports it, and failed to mention that he makes his millions in Indiana.
That's it. That's the whole point.
A whole state line away with a Republican governor and a more conservative political climate, and it's not going to raise back to the minimum wage. Hey, look, but I say as a disclaimer, I located my business in Mount Washington in Bullitt County, literally a mile from the metro limit, the county line. So, I've made the joke before, the observation, whatever you want to call it, a little bit of biting sarcasm. It's like, I don't give a crap because I'm in Bullitt County and they're open for business. As a matter of fact, if they run any businesses, if somebody wants to build their big warehouses where they either have temp workers or, not going to advocate or condemn any kind of work, but I can see it putting more businesses. It's like, look, you can either open up, 100 yards on this side of the line or 100 yards on this side of the line, and on one side you actually get the call shots on your own business.
Well, that's it. And it gets worse, too, Ed. I mean, it really does because, here we have once again, the lamestream media and the Democratic liberal followers who are controlled by the Democrats in this town, including WDRB. I don't know what happened to Bill Lamb, but he completely did a crazy turn a few years ago, and there's not a liberal agenda that he doesn't like, and there's not a Democrat that he doesn't like anymore, and they don't really care. But it's fascinating because in this particular story, they're doing the same thing that the Courier-Journal started doing a couple of months ago, folks. For those of you who don't know, I decided I was going to do a little test, and I put out a little press release that said there was going to be a new Louisville Metro Chamber of Commerce in town. And, this particular business, and I'm very proud to say that we're very close to the launch, but this particular business, it will do nothing more than represent business fairly. But it's interesting because in this WDRB story, they also want to make the point that Greg Fisher is expressing the same concern that GLI, the city's Chamber of Commerce, is using to oppose the ordinance. And they always make sure GLI, they always mention them as a Chamber of Commerce, which they are not. They are not Louisville's Chamber of Commerce. Greg Fisher pulled the $950,000 that he was giving them every year to act like they were Louisville's Chamber of Commerce and represented the city. So all of these things are in play. And this all started after that press release and announcement was made just a couple of months ago. And it scared the hell out of them because, folks, here's the real deal. Most of the garbage that goes on behind the scenes is done behind closed doors with Greg Fisher and a few powerhouse elites. It's the same thing with Jerry Abramson, the same thing with Jim King, and the Democrat elites and the power brokers that run this town. It's that simple. And this is just another example of that. These guys, in my opinion, are working in collusion, trying to sell the people a bill of goods to make them believe that they really have legitimate concerns. And if you need further proof of how, let's look at the rest of this story. Council member Sherry Bryant Hamilton, who, is a co-sponsor of this ordinance, who has been outwardly high-spoken about the need for having a higher minimum wage, is also quoted as saying, well, I think those concerns he has are valid, and I think there are things we need to look at. None of that stuff was stated until we pushed the envelope. So this is the big thing. This is where you make a difference. And the bottom line is this. None of these people, as Ed mentioned, and Ed, I'm 100% agreement with you, none of these people, as you've mentioned, have skin in the game. Greg Fisher has all of his business over in southern Indiana. Why? Because it's cheaper to own and run his business there. It's cheaper labor costs. It's cheaper taxes. How can anybody sit here and honestly take any of these people seriously? How can you take a GLI serious who says it's okay for the city of Louisville to raise water rates? Who says it's okay for MSD to raise sewer rates? Who says it's okay to try to get a sales tax, a local option of sales tax in Louisville? How can anybody in this town that has a job or has a business actually take any of these people as credible or serious at all, Mr. Martin?
Well, you don't. I mean, as I say, unfortunately for some businesses, they can't move. We moved. and we did it after a lot of shopping, whether it was GLI or whatever, or the city. We got jerked around a whole lot, you know, 12, 13 years ago. So we went to where we were welcome. And that's, you know, the libertarian streak comes out of me sometimes, and I just, you know, frankly, I could get upset about it. If I were trapped in Louisville, I might get upset about it, but I'm not. You know, I've already made that move. And to be perfectly honest, if, you know, if Louisville wants to get into a self-destructive mode or maybe, you know, say, you know, we don't want anybody, essentially saying we don't want anybody to employ anybody unless it's $10 an hour job, so you're 10-10 or whatever. And by the way, you're gonna, you know, that you're gonna pick up additional costs when you pay people more. Your work comp rates go up. All your rates go up. Your matching Social Security and all that goes up. So, you know, I would like to tell you I'm upset about it, but like I say, as I've located, disclaimer, I will tell you much more openly than Fisher will. I'm not located in Louisville, and my business interests are not in Louisville. So, hey, go on and do it. You know, in the big picture, I hope it works out for you. I hope all your little, you know, your Attica Scotts and everybody out there, I hope you're right. I hope that, you know, somehow, amazingly, you bend the compensation curve up. It's, and amazingly, people want to hire more people. I hope you're right. I wouldn't bet on it. but if you're not, that's okay too, because, you know, I've got some excess acreage behind my building, and if businesses want to start fleeing the city, I've got a sale for you. You know.
Well, yeah, I want to point.
Our way.
Well, I want to point this out too, Ed, on your behalf, because I know you won't do that. But, you know, the reality is, though, you tried everything you could possibly do to open your business in Louisville, and the city made it basically damn near impossible for you to open here, which is why you ended up in Bullock County. You did try to operate in Louisville. You did try to employ people in Louisville, but they created so many walls and so many problems for you to be able to do so that you basically were forced to go to Bullock County. Is that correct?
It's kind of one of two options. Either we were told, look, you got to go to what potentially is the very high rent district, you know, more like mm-hmm. East End and Commerce Crossings, where, you know, on one hand, everybody tells you how to run your business. Or you go into, you know, in other cases, we get into poorer areas, and not only were there issues with security and flow and stuff, but there were problems with people telling you what you had to do. You know, oh, this old warehouse is sitting, kind of like the Walmart thing going on. It's not this smart, but it's, well, this is what we want you to do with this building, or this is how we want you to, you know, we want traffic flows, and this is what we want you to do, and these are all the certifications you've got to pass. And it's just like, you know, but really, what you're
exactly. They wanted to tell you where to go, how to operate. They wanted to tell you where to go, where to build, and how to operate, and they don't care about anything else, and that's not their responsibility. And I wanted to make sure our audience knew that, because, you know, we've got a hell of a following here, and I don't want people to think that we are hypocritical, because we're not. My business runs right here out of Louisville, Kentucky. You know, I'm proud to do so, but I don't have employees. It's a one-man show. You know, Ed Martin tried everything he could to be here in Louisville and couldn't. So, you know, I want to make sure our audience understands that. And if you think this isn't a game, I'm going to finish with this particular subject right here. And Ed, you can comment if you want. But, you know, Sherry Bryan Hamilton, you know, not only did she say that these are valid concerns all of a sudden, which completely is out of character because she really don't care. You know, she also says they're going to do an education campaign that will address those concerns. But here's the kicker. She's confident enough that there are set out of the 17 Democrats on the Metro Council, out of 26 members, she's confident enough that they will be able to get the minimum wage with or without Greg Fisher's support. See, that's the key here. What does that tell you? We can do whatever the hell we want to do. So Greg Fisher can play any game he wants to. Where has he been for the last, you know, few months when this conversation has been going on? He hasn't. But this week, now that they're going to start getting into serious discussion at the Metro Council, he knows that they've got the 17 Democrats locked in, which is a no-brainer, because it was practically unanimous when they sent the letter to Michael Connell seeking permission to do so. So this is all smoke and mirrors, and that's what drives me nuts about this. So Fisher goes out, you know, and he's asked by WDRB if he's going to sign the ordinance. Well, no, I can't. I don't know if I'm going to sign it or not because we haven't heard from the community yet. Get real. We are not dumb. And that's why we need to start getting serious in this town. And putting Bob DeVore up as a Republican a candidate should be an embarrassment to the local Jefferson County GOP. That should never happen, not to have a qualified candidate to run against a goon like this. You know, but that's my opinion, man. I'm sticking to it. Who knows?
I think it's already a done deal. I think everything you're seeing now from Sherrod Brown Hamilton with the, we need to people have valid concerns. It's nothing but words. Fisher saying he might or might not do it. Nothing but words. Hold on just a second. Brando!
Well, that was interesting. You must be at home.
Yeah, my dog was going after. He got a puppy trying to go away. So,
there you go.
But I think it's all just grandstanding. I think Fisher's going to sign it, and if he doesn't, you know, whatever. It's a done deal. I agree with you there. It's a done deal, and like I said, they're just all they're doing now is. Acting like they actually care, acting like they actually give a damn about what somebody that may not agree with them thinks. But that's all
right.
They're doing. This thing is in the bag, and I say so. You know, people can adjust accordingly and hope for the best. I hope for the best. I got a lot of people who do business in the city. Truthfully, the 10-10 doesn't really affect them. They're already above that. But yeah, it's all just speaking for the press, and the press, of course, being what it is just taking it down, writing it word for word, not questioning it, not pointing out the the certain hypocrisies, the certain double standards that seem to be at play here. So, you know, they're going to do what they're going to do. Fisher doesn't care. He's going to be a second-term mayor. He can't run for a third term, so he doesn't care.
Well, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. So what happens in the meantime? He actually thinks he's going to run for Senate, which is going to be really laughable. I'm going to make sure I do everything I can to make sure that doesn't happen. You know, but we continue getting into this lying game set up garbage. And I tell you, it's just fascinating how the Democrat power elite here operates. You know, I want to get into this next story real quick because here's another great example of it. You know, in an open court, you can go to Courier Journal for this story if you want. There's a couple of different sources out there for it. But in open court, Jefferson District Judge Gina K. Calvert was actually operating political activity from the bench during a court session. She was calling the judges or the attorneys in her court up to the bench one-on-one and showing them a note that says the FOP did not endorse me and then having a conversation with them about it. And you got people like David Lambertus, who's an attorney in her courtroom. He goes on to say, well, they're dumb bastards anyway. All of this is caught on a microphone because she didn't have it turned off. She's having campaign discussions from the bench. It clearly violates the Judicial Conduct Commission Code of Ethics and the canons, but nothing will be done about it. So this is going on, and miraculously, and here's the thing that really kills me. The courtroom deputy, Sheriff William Ziegler, became concerned about it. Now he's a sworn officer, right? So he's supposed to be worrying about illegal stuff. He became so concerned about it, he took a copy of the note, showed it to the prosecutors. One of the prosecutors just happens to be her opponent, Assistant County Attorney Susan Jones. And what happens? Because he goes to the prosecutors and asks them if this is legal or not. Then he gets suspended by Sheriff John Aubrey for 20 days. He finally got it reduced to 15 days by the Deputy Sheriff Merit Board. You know, but he was suspended for 20 days for basically playing a whistleblower law, and they're trying to say that he took the content, the note from the bench. He had actually read and copied the note rather than taking it from the bench. But I wouldn't care either way. If he took it from the bench, it's evidence at that point that there was an illegal situation in the courtroom. So I don't care how you phrase this. And this guy gets suspended for 20 days, and yet Judge Calvert is going to go ahead and continue to be allowed to run against her opponent, Susan Jones. I hope she loses her ass. I really do. This is the corruption in Kentucky. Nothing will be done to her, but to Deputy Sheriff Ziegler, he was punished for bringing up an illegal act, and he's required by law to do so. Explain that to me, Ed, because I don't get that.
Well, I'm not an expert on Kentucky law. I've got a few victories, but not an expert on that. But the thing that gets me about this is, once again, it's just like anything from, you know, people that get caught on videos of the couple incursions I've had in court. Anybody, I know this, and I'm not even a regular frequent flyer. Is that the court system has it's a really cool system that the mics never really go flat, and if there's a sound, the cameras in the courtroom will follow wherever the sound is. They will, you know, if somebody's speaking, the camera that will find them. So it's like, look, these places, these are smart buildings. They're hardwired to, you know, so that there's no he said, she said. And the judge who works there kind of missed that.
Yeah, you know, that's it. And here you got the sheriff.
You know, it's like, okay, corruption happens. Bending the rules happens, but this person is responsible, you know, has the power to lock you up, take away your freedom, to take away everything you worked for in life. And they're dense enough that they kind of forgot that the building itself is recording your conversations. Wow.
And the problem is, I don't care if it's recording or not. To think that you can actually sit there and you know, run your daggone campaign from the bench is disturbing as hell for me. You've got a 27-year veteran, a 27-year service veteran, and Deputy Sheriff Ziegler, who's never had any infractions whatsoever in 27 years, and all of a sudden is suspended for 20 days, which was later amended to 15 days, for bringing an illegal act up. And why was he suspended? Who the hell knows, you know? But according to the sheriff's department and everything else, you know, they suspended him for making known to a third party information he received in the court of his official duties in a way which placed him at the sheriff's office in a partisan position with regard to a political race. And the reason for that is the third party was a county attorney's office.
Yeah,
all right.
Total bullshit. I mean, you put the guy in a compromising situation by running your mouth like you're above the law and above decorum. Had he not said anything and had knowledge of it, that would have been just as partisan. I mean, these people through, you know, this judge through her activity basically gave the guy he's in a catch 22. He's in a no-win situation. If he keeps his mouth shut, he's complicit in the act. If he does say something, then John Aubrey or whomever will come down on him like a ton of bricks, and we'll teach your little, right wrong ass how this game is played. You know, it's the golden rule. He has the gold, makes the rules, and that's not you, chump. It's just like anything else. If somebody commits a criminal act in front of you and you don't report it, you're complicit. You know, if you're right there, if you do, then they say, well, you're, you know, whatever, backstabber, snitch, partisan. So it's like, yeah, this judge and to be honest, she put the other attorney, when she starts running her mouth like that, she's put in the courtroom, she's putting everybody in a position to where if they say something, they're partisan if they don't, because she basically brought the partisan element into her courtroom, you know, political partisan. So she basically entrapped everybody in there with a choice they can't win. So that's
Well, that's it. And Tom Clay is representing William Ziegler, and he should. And I tell you, I'm glad Tom Clay is representing him, because I think Tom Clay does a great job representing those types of situations. But, you know, his concern, Ziegler's concern, Deputy Sheriff Ziegler's concern was that campaigning from the bench improperly, he felt like he had a duty to report it. And he did, you know, and this Judge Calvert, you know, and I'm going to tell you, folks, Judge Gina K. Calvert, that's how she shows up on the ballot. I strongly recommend that you vote for her opponent, Susan Jones. Very rarely would I do this because I don't know the first thing about Susan Jones. I have not handicapped that race whatsoever. But when I've got a judge who is intentionally campaigning from the bench, you know, and things like that, she said, and here's the thing, if me and you use this excuse in a court of law because we thought something, we would be burned. But she said she thought the conversations wouldn't be recorded when she turned on a noise machine that's designed to keep the spectators and jurors from hearing any conversation she has at the bench. So she readily admits with that statement, in my opinion, she knew it was wrong. She just got caught when it was recorded because the noise machine apparently didn't work right. So she knew it was wrong. The attorneys in her court she were talking to.
She knew it was a smart building. She knew the building recorded conversations. But she didn't. She thought she had figured out a way to stump the building that's put in there for just these kind of reasons. That she is doggone it. I'm not guilty of anything except just not quite figuring out how to stump the security systems of the building. Doggone it, you know. What do you fall back on there? Well, next time I campaign from the bench, I'll have a way of monkey wrenching the security system. That's what I'll do. I've learned my lesson. I know how to shut that mic off for real now.
Well, you know, I mean, my concern is, what else is she going to do? What else is she doing for the bench that's illegal? You know, she flat out knows that this was illegal and did it anyway. She said that the reason she did it, you know, was because that these particular lawyers in her courtroom are political supporters and political advisors. So she wanted to talk to them about it. She couldn't do that off duty. You know, now she said, well, it was a mistake. I should have called them after work. You think? But the problem is, this is somebody who's making a decision in about 30 seconds or a minute in most cases about somebody else in her courtroom that she ain't got a clue what their story is. She's got a little daggone docket in front of her that says, pass them through, find them guilty, do whatever you got to do. Okay? But it's okay for her to knowingly violate the law from the bench. And there's no repercussions for that. Yet the deputy sheriff, who did have an obligation by his own code of ethics and code of standards of conduct to report something he felt may be illegal to the prosecutor's office, does so, and he gets suspended for it. This is totally ridiculous. This is the Democratic machine at work, folks. There is no other way to put it. That's just the way it is. Ed, we're going to take a break. When we get back, we're going to switch gears a little bit because I want to get into some of the latest Alice in Wonderland Grimes ridiculous stuff. And who knows, we may even get time to get into Barack Obama. We'll see. You're listening to the Ed Spranger Show right here on the MVM Radio Network, folks. Stay tuned. We're coming back at you.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Oh. Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582 CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582 CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
Oh, my goodness, folks. I tell you what, it never stops around here. So many things going on, so much to do, so little time. Welcome back to the Ed Springer Show right here at the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com and EdSpringer.com, which is our blog. You can check us out frequently if you don't mind. Calling numbers, as always, 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. And we still got time to take a call or two if somebody wants to get on. For you guys in the listening queue, thank you as always. Just remember to hit that number one and we'll bring you on air as soon as we can. Ed, you know, we spent the first part of the show talking about the crazy stuff that goes on here in Louisville with the idiocy collusion, if you will, between Greg Fisher, GLI, and the Democratic Metro Council. The garbage that's going on in Jefferson District Court, a judge actually campaigning from the bench, you know, and it doesn't get any better with the Democrat mafia here in this state. I tell you, we can move on to Allison Lundergan Grimes. You know, Allison Lundergan Grimes put a recent TV ad out, and the ad is titled Proud Man. So she's trying to play on this, you know, the same thing she played with her grandmother in the primary and all of this stuff. Now she's trying to act like, you know, her poor grandfather and how hard they struggled because they were broke and poor and all this stuff. The ad is called Proud Man, and she wants to bring her Democratic grandparents into this, talking about how they couldn't pay their medical bills after his stroke, and basically blaming Mitch McConnell for the vote she's taken on Medicare. You know, and she goes on to say in this ad that his last 10 years, her grandfather couldn't speak or work, and they could barely afford medicine. You want to feel sorry for it because that's probably a true story for somebody. But unfortunately, it came from Alice in Wonderland Grimes. She goes, her grandmother says that, you know, our life became something else. We had no vacations and no retirement. The problem here is during this 10-year period she's talking about all of this poor stuff that her poor grandparents went through, you have to ask yourself, why were her grandparents doing without basic necessities, and why were they having such a struggle? Because her own father, Alice in Wonderland Grimes' own father, Jerry Lundergan Grimes, you know, was making some pretty damn good campaign donations to candidates. I mean, he was paying six-figure campaign donations to Democrat candidates. He was also in charge of multi-million-dollar business deals. So she comes from a very wealthy family with her father, and her grandparents, his parents, had to do without. Does any of that make sense? I mean, really, truthfully, how low would you go to invoke this kind of lies and stuff into a campaign to get elected? What does that say about her character?
Oh, man, it's a sorry-ass campaign move. You know, on one hand, as if I wanted to be an angry libertarian, I would say, you know, what the hell is she talking about? Did not Mitch McConnell, Republicans, did they not pass Medicare Part D? I mean, the biggest expansion of unfunded expansion to, you know, benefit offered to seniors ever, really? I mean, they passed that, so, I mean, maybe she could get her marbles straight. She could thank Mitch McConnell for passing such a glorious unfunded welfare program, basically. You know, gift to the pharmaceuticals and gift to the older people, but it's unfunded, and he passed that, so you know, what gives? On the other hand, I have some extremely liberal friends that have, in no uncertain terms, stated that things like Medicare and Social Security, you know, they're programs for those who in need, but for those who have some net worth, they basically will tell you it's an inheritance protection insurance is what it is. You know, because, look, you go through your life, you make the money you can. You get sick, if you had to pay for it all yourself, you know, you won't leave any to your kids. And if you got to go Medicaid, it's coming out of your estate. So, you know, this is, so it's like, okay, so what are we seeing here, Allison? I mean, I don't know that that many people really go without care in the U.S. I mean, granted, you may have to take the Medicaid route, but and at that point, your net worth is going to be attached upon your demise. You know, they're going to come and extract what they can from your assets. And you have limited assets anyway. But basically what I'm hearing is they want to hang on to all their assets. But but, you know, kind of wanted somebody else to pick up as much, if not more, of the bill so that, you know, they could.
Well, I'm curious where her stance is. And I'm curious why she's not out there screaming and hollering right now. I mean, using her logic, because quite frankly, you know, the state, which is run by Democrats, okay, are actively out there going after, you know, low-income, you know, fathers or mothers, you know, single non-parents, if you will. If their children are receiving government subsidies of any kind, whether it's in lieu of food stamps or anything else, they're going after the non-dependent person, father or mother, and trying to garnish their daggone paycheck to get part of that money back. So, you know, if you're a millionaire and you can afford your own care, why should you be allowed to go out there and take Social Security or Medicare or anything else? And the argument will be, well, we paid into it. Well, so are those non-dependent parents. They're paying into the system too. You know, so, I mean, it's so hypocritical, it's unreal. And I tell you, it gets even... Go ahead.
The thing that gets me, and I think you're probably heading that direction, is, like I said, Jerry Lundgren is worth millions and very well politically connected, too. The thing that gets me is, you know, and I've looked into it for elderly people in my family, haven't had to do it yet, but, you know, you've got Medicare Part D, and you've got other supplemental insurance you can buy, and in some cases it's not cheap, but, look, I mean, let's take a shift away from the government should be taking care of my elderly parents to family values. I mean, come on, Jer. What's it going to cost you?
You can't talk family values.
What's it going to cost your millionaire to get somebody else to take the fall for yourself? What's it going to cost you to cut the check and help out the old folks with, you know, maybe their Medicare Part D, or maybe help them out with, you know, you buy them a Kroger food card every once in a while. It's like, really? You know, take your credit card miles and send them on a cruise or something.
You're also talking about Alice in Wonderland Grimes, who actually owns a percentage of a piece of property that her dad does, that is in such disrepair, has been cited so many times for so much money in the county and everything else that they refused to pay it, you know, until she decided to run for Senate. So for 8 or 9 years, they're ignoring their responsibility there, too. This isn't somebody you talk about. This is the entitlement mentality.
Yeah, we know in this state of Kentucky, it's a poor state. And there are people out there who are desperately hurting, you know, and they can go up and down the family tree side to side, and there's just nobody in there that can help. You know, there's entire generations just impoverished, you know, for whatever reason. And here we have Allison trying to sell us some sob story. I mean, it's sad.
they're playing.
I feel terrible that the guy had a stroke. I mean, God. How miserable must it? I can't, you know, I got a half the alarm right now from a neck injury. And it's miserable. So, I mean, I feel for the, you know, personally as his medical struggle. But to sit there and frame it as a multimillionaire's daughter, you know, and a corrupt one at that, and say, oh, you know, Mitch McConnell almost deprived my parents of this. It's like, seriously? I'm worth like 1% of what your old man is worth. And by God, if somebody in my family was hurting, I'd buy them food. I'd send them on a vacation. I'd get the family members around and say, hey, look, you know, I ain't Jerry Lundgren, but cat gummit, here, you saw a frequent flyer mouth, and you'll visit the sun down in Florida, you know. It's just like, I would say, there are so many people, and it's got to be, to me, it's just got to be so insulting to people who don't have the resources, who have to listen to them say, oh, we're getting a bigger vacation, you know. Yeah, so, and they've got somebody living in their house who had a stroke or black lung or is otherwise debilitated from a work-related injury or something. and, you know, and they're just toughing it out and doing the best they can. They got to watch millionaire, you know, a multi-million a family with millions in net worth bellyache about not getting a government program when these people are probably truly struggling, always in, you know, at the cusp of bankruptcy, always on the edge of poverty, and, you know, and they're just trying to make a go of it. And they got to listen to a millionaire sport brat whine
about. But it's not their problem unless they want something from it. And that's the thing right here because, I mean, here you are. I mean, this is nothing more than a desperate ploy by a desperate candidate to try to screw the people into thinking they actually give a shit about anybody but themselves. And that's the truth of it because, I mean, let's face facts here. This is nothing more than a desperation move because you can't justify doing that to your own family. You can't sit here and say that you have family values and let your own grandparents suffer like that or Jerry's parents suffer like that. You can't sit here and go down that road. There's so much hypocrisy there, it's unreal. And we've got even more hypocrisy, Ed. I mean, this is crazy. Alice in Wonderland Grimes, and yeah, folks, before you go crazy, because I always get these people, I've got people sending me IMs and texts now, it's Alice in London Grimes. No, it's Alice in Wonderland Grimes to me. It's always been that way on this show, so get over yourself. But, you know, the reality is this. She actually did a 20-minute interview on Kentucky Sports Radio, and during that interview, you know, she decided to spend all her time just trying to trash Mitch McConnell and everything he's ever done, not telling the voters what to vote for her for. However, she did actually say a few things to give us some idea of the lies that she's going to espouse, and I have to say that they're lies, and here's why. Typically, she don't do anything but scripted answers on everything and will not take questions from journalists anywhere because she can't answer any real questions. So she does it on this Kentucky Sports Radio show in this interview. Go on record for a few things. You know, as far as gay marriage is concerned, she says she doesn't want to deprive anyone of the right to marry. Sounds great, right? On marijuana, she says she's ready to have a discussion about decriminalizing marijuana and then make sure that we talk about only for medicinal uses. But here's one. Here are the next two are really, really hypocritical to me. I mean, the gay marriage thing and all that crap, that's the instant liberal response to try to act like they really care. But you get into gun rights and the other things. On gun rights, she said that she opposes outlawing assault weapons, but she does favor closing the gun show loophole. And for those of you who don't know what the gun show loophole is, basically you have all these gun shows around the country and everything else. And some people can buy weapons, you know, at some of the gun shows, depending on where you're at, without going through a regular background check like you would at a gun shop. So she opposes outlawing assault weapons, but she does favor closing the gun show loophole. Well, here's the hypocrisy there, Ed. She's been attacking Mitch McConnell about a daggone crime bill from 20 years ago in 1994. The bill was the Violence Against Women Act, and Mitch McConnell did not vote for it. Never mind that Mitch McConnell has sponsored other bills since then that would deal with violence against women, but he didn't vote yes for this one 20 years ago for one reason and one reason only. Because the Democrats decided they wanted to add on to the bill a provision that was going to do what? Ban the sale of military-style assault rifles. So she's trying to beat him to death about, you know, not supporting violence against women without telling the whole world how many times he has sponsored a bill to do just that because he opposed one bill 20 years ago because they wanted to include an assault weapon ban. And yes, she's out here telling everybody on gun rights today that she opposes outlawing assault weapons. How much more hypocritical can you get? You either favor banning or you don't favor banning. All right, and then you know, you either favor Violence Against Women Act or you don't. But when you try to couple the two together, you know, as a senator, you have a choice to make. Do you uphold the Constitution, or do you force them to make that a standalone bill, which, of course, they did not do? And 20 years ago, Mitch McConnell certainly didn't have the power in the Senate that he has today. Ed?
Well, yeah, I think it's the height of hypocrisy. I mean, and that's the question she won't answer. And, Lord, it happens so rarely. But to the Courier's credit, and I believe it's Joe Girth, he has he's bent down on this pretty good. He's like, okay, so you don't oppose, you know, you believe assault weapons should remain legal, but that's, according to Mitch, in his answer, that's the reason he voted for that particular Violence Against Women. So, he's, you know, they're actually manning up and asking her straight up, so are you saying you would have voted, you know, if you're pro-assault weapons, does this mean you would have voted against that bill? And she's like, zip. Not a word. You know, answer the question. But you know, we talk about it often here. It's amazing sometimes the amount of money people put into a campaign, and it's just, it's amateur hour. I mean, we said that from the moment she started. You know, she was scripted, terribly, terribly scripted.
Well,
it's the most terrifying moment for any of her handlers, and you can bet they are on the job 24/7, 365, and every 15, you know, once a week, maybe 15 minutes, they turn their back on her, and bam, she said something like this. It's got to be terrifying for her campaign for her to go off script, because that's what she's done here. She said, I believe, honestly, I believe what she said. She's off script. Boom, she just blew up. She just blew it. Her going off script for maybe 30 seconds, she blew it up. So, I mean, can you imagine being her handler? Wow.
Oh, I hear you. And then two more things real quick. You know, on the EPA, she said she believes that climate change is a real phenomenon, but she also believes that the EPA regulations are overburdensome. You can't have that both ways. For one thing, we now know that this whole climate change garbage that was started by Al Gore made him a megabucks, but we know that it's a lie. The polar ice caps are larger than they've been in who knows how long. According to the latest reports that have come out just in the last couple of days, the Earth has went through a cooling period over the last 18 years. At the time, we're supposed to be in global warming, right? We've gone through a cooling period. You know, how much more do we have to take from these clowns? I mean, this is clearly nothing more. Climate change is nothing more than an agenda-driven scam set up by the liberal agenda to force everybody to do whatever the hell they want at the cost and money of all of us. I mean, you know, our energy costs are going up and everything else because of garbage science. So, Ed, these are the things that concern me, and I tell you, it's very, very strange. You know what, Ed? I apologize. I just now noticed the time. We are short on time. I didn't realize it was that late. You know, give me a quick comment and go straight into closing, okay?
A quick comment is, you know, climate change is real, whether it's man-made or not. You know, I'm sure every action has a reaction. So I'm sure some things we're doing, in some way, you know, you don't operate in a vacuum. So yes, there are some things we're doing that are probably affecting some portions of the climate. Now, climate change real? I always default back to what my daughters went through. And one day they got to talking about climate change, how the teacher was talking about climate change, and I said, well, you're damn right the climate's changing. You're damn right it's changing. And they're like, really? Do you agree with that? I said, yeah, there used to be a big glacier halfway down the Mississippi Valley in New York City with a mile under ice. It had obviously warmed up. So, yes, climate changes. I mean, for me, I look at it as like, guys, just hang up the scare tactics. You know, I do agree with trying to move towards clean energy. I do agree with trying to move towards renewable energies, but not as a scare tactic. It's like, look, can we just do this just because we're Americans and we're going to do it because we can, because we don't like being enslaved to the coal companies and the oil companies? You know, can we just... It's very libertarian if you generate, and very rugged individualism if you're capable of generating some of your own damn power and doing so cleanly off the grid. You know, so that's more the approach I take. Now, final thoughts. Our friend Brian Simpson, I had to catch something he posted on Facebook today. And final thoughts goes to, as we approach the campaign season, one of our favorite Illinois, Dan Johnson, got the endorsement of the Courier Journal. You know what? What's the end of it? And I have to say that, you know, there are people that work at the Courier Journal that I like, and they're good people. But, my God, if you're going to actually endorse Dan Johnson, as opposed to just taking a pass on that race, you have no balls. You have no scruples. The poor Courier Journal. It's a waste of trees to make that paper. If you would endorse Dan Johnson, you're practically begging somebody to run against him. So if you don't think they're in the Democrats' back pocket, let's face it, dumb is endorsing dumber. So there you go.
Well, I tell you, it's I really truly wanted to get into a story on Dan tonight, but I just couldn't bring myself to do it. There was so much else to cover, and it's become such a laughing stock. I didn't want to waste 10 minutes laughing about it instead of getting through content. You know, in the Courier's defense, and I can't believe I can defend these guys in anything, but they did put out 6 endorsements today for council members. At least 2 of them were Republican, which really shocked me. But more importantly, even on Dan Johnson, as you pointed out, they did say, please, dear God, run somebody else. You know, they didn't sugarcoat it. They clearly gave the endorsement with their fingers holding their nose closed. But, you know, really, truthfully, what else could you endorse? I mean, that's the size of it in that particular race. So...
You can know, you just throw us that and say we refuse to endorse anyone.
There you go. Well, that was my next.
Yeah.
And that was my next statement. If you have to hold your nose so tight to endorse somebody, then that's a race that you don't endorse. You know, moving on to things that are going on, folks. I tell you, you really have to start paying attention between the lies and the collusion, if you will, in my opinion, between this Democratic mayor, the Democratic Metro Council, the idiots at GLI who continue thinking that they're actually somebody that's working on behalf of business here instead of being bought and blackmailing everybody to work with them. You know, these are the problems that we have in this town. Then you move on to the state level, you start seeing the lies and the hypocrisy from those like Alice in Wonderland Grimes, you know, and we see judges now that are actually campaigning from the bench, which is totally illegal. All of these illegal things, all of these hypocritical things go on, and we the people continue to elect these fools. And I don't see any other way to describe them other than fools. You know, and finally, I guess I would leave you with this. Grimes says, you know, when she's in this 20-minute Kentucky Sports Radio interview, that she recalls her close familial ties to former President Bill Clinton and promised to serve in the Senate in much the same manner he served in the White House. She goes on to describe herself as a Clinton Democrat and is pulling the Clinton card at every chance she gets. But I like that statement. Grimes recalled her close familial ties to former President Bill Clinton and promised to serve in the Senate in much the same manner he served in the White House. The only question I would have for Allison Grimes at this point is, do you own a blue dress? Because that apparently is important. That's it for tonight, folks. Tomorrow night at 7, Dale the Truth will be here with the TNT Tuesday Night Truth Show. I, of course, will be back on Wednesday and Thursday at 7 o'clock with much, much more. In the meantime, folks, please have a great night. God bless, and thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you.